That the Spirit.
Just 1 week after promising to never spring this on Peter again, I've done it. I've just called Peter and just sprung the show on him. But, you know, it's the time. It's 4:40 p.m. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham, what has been happening with you this week?
With me? Oh, I've been all over the place, but...
I know the feeling.
Yes, but meantime, things have been happening, so I've been gathering news for you, as you imagine, you know, assiduously, and now I'm ready to talk about the new details of the census on religion in New Zealand.
Aha, this is the follow-up to the things that we didn't have all the pieces for recently.
Precisely,
yes.
Precisely. Now
okay.
We have... Well, maybe not all the detail, but we've got some of the detail.
Yeah, yeah. Lay it on us.
Yeah. So, where do you want to begin?
Well, so just maybe a quick recap. The numbers that you'd found most interesting and kind of like recently-ish.
Yes. So, last time, all we had in October with the first release was the figures for no religion, which showed the expected rise.
Mm-hmm.
All the Christian denominations lumped together,
mm-hmm.
and so a total for the Christian category. And then, alongside of that, was just categories for Hinduism and for Islam.
Right.
Gross totals, which were really quite interesting. And I suppose the most interesting figure was the level of the decline of Christian and rise of no religion.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can look at this much closer and investigate exactly what lies behind these trends.
Right.
And so what I found out is that within the Christian scene generally, Catholic figures have gone down just a tiny little bit,
mm-hmm.
as a number, rather more as a percentage. Anglican figures have gone down really drastically.
Okay. Is it Anglican sort of denominations, the patronage is probably a little on the older side generally?
Yeah, precisely, and that's what's brought it about. There can be no surprise in that figure because, in fact, they were very old right through the last few censuses, and so it was inevitable they were going to lose more than they could possibly gain.
No shade to my Anglican priest father.
Presbyterian and Methodist have not declined quite at the same rate, but they have declined.
Mm-hmm.
As for the other denominations, the most interesting thing is the decline in Pentecostals. That actually, the numbers of Pentecostals have really gone down quite significantly from 80,000 to 60,000 approximately.
And that's a big difference.
That is really, really interesting. And Baptist figures have also gone down quite a bit.
Baptist, okay.
Yeah. But what has grown and is now actually... probably you could call it the biggest Christian figure, is the people who put Christian without defining it.
I know people like this who are like, yeah, I think I'm Christian.
Well, it's an interesting debate about what they mean, because in the census you had to go through choosing a main religion and then choosing any further details you wanted to add.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got 360,000 who just stuck it, put down Christian, but didn't define it. Then there were 33,000 who put down born again or evangelical or fundamentalist and didn't define it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 19,000 who put down Pentecostal and didn't define it.
Okay.
So what's interesting about this is it suggests that for a lot of people, they don't really know about all that. What do you mean about denomination? How would I know what denomination I was?
Right.
You know? I go to that church on the corner,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
but I've no idea what connection has with anything.
Hmm.
And I think that is a trend. And what would be very helpful to confirm that would be to know the ages of people who just put Christian and don't further define it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and we do know from earlier censuses that they tend to be quite a bit younger.
Who
whether they're
sort of
involved in a church or not, well, you're speculating maybe they're not.
Oh, no, I was actually going to say, confirm that. Well, when I was a younger person going to church, people would ask me what denomination. I'd be like, I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, and so I think that might be the case with quite a lot of people, but others may well have just stopped going to church.
Yeah.
Still want to call themselves Christian.
I would say that would be... I would say you're on the money there. I know people like that, definitely.
Yeah, and others may well have changed, especially in the Pentecostal thing, changed brands, if you like, along the way.
Mm-mm.
And so have not, you know, don't feel deeply committed to any one brand. But this means that what's happening is that the census was supposed to be measuring the size of specific denominations so that if, for example, there was to be a distribution of radio broadcasts, they used to do that in the old days based on the census.
Right.
They'd have some definite figures and know how many broadcasts to allocate to you.
Right.
But today, of course, that census is not used like that by government. It's used mostly by researchers and by people interested in culture.
Right.
And so, in a sense, the denomination is neither here nor there.
Yeah.
In a way, the religion question is one of the few questions that asks you your opinion in the census.
Mm. Yeah,
so
true.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is quite interesting. And I think maybe that tells us that there's little future in the denominational structures, except for owning the buildings.
Yeah, true. Well,
now,
yeah. Sorry,
here's an interesting one. Back in 2013, there were, let me just see what the numbers were. There were 44,500 who put Jedi or some other kind of comment, which was treated in 2013 as a facetious religion. It wasn't really an answer to a religion question. They were just being nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
They're
mocking it.
But now?
Then in 2018, much lower figures, 24,600 put either Jedi or Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Okay.
Now, what do you think would these numbers be like in 2023?
Well, that's a good question.
We haven't heard much about it, have we?
No. I think, you know, you drive past the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster all the time. They've got massive buildings and a lot of money, but yeah, I don't know much about them, to be honest. You tell me.
Precisely. So the fact is that they've gone down, but not a huge amount, gone down to just over 20,000, nearly 21,000.
Right.
So, I mean, that does show that for quite a lot of people, what they mean is don't you start specifying what denomination I am. I can have my own religion. I'll make it up for myself, I think.
Yeah, right. And also, there's a huge amount of people out there who probably just want to mess with things, aren't they? Do you reckon?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. But I'll tell you something interesting. For the last two censuses, they've started counting the number of atheists and agnostics again.
That makes more sense.
They stopped counting for a long time, and there are more believers in the Flying Spaghetti Monster than there are atheists and agnostics. Now that's quite surprising, isn't it?
It is surprising, yeah, because I would have thought that people who... Because is there also one for no religion, did you say?
Yep.
Yeah, I wonder how many people you could probably say... Well, it depends. If you don't have a religion, you may still think, I have a belief, you know, but I want it to be interesting to almost...
Yes, you were allowed to record more than one, but I think once you'd put no religion, it would be quite hard then to add the religion of atheism, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. But, I mean, those figures suggest that at least militant atheists and militant agnostics are not growing at all. What else have we got? The various groups that, you know, earth religions, you know, the people who are druids, Satanists. You name it. They're up a little bit to 9,400 from last time, 7,600. So they're not booming.
Yeah, well, maybe they're, you know, do Satanists, when, I don't know, sure, if modern Satanists probably not hiding in the shadows. No, they're probably just, they'd say so.
I did wonder whether I should have added together the Druids, the Wiccans, and the Satanists. They would probably object and say they're very different.
Yeah.
In a way, they seem to me that the Satanist is a male version of Wicca, to my mind.
Careful there, Peter.
And it's a dangerous viewpoint.
Well, yeah, just, you know. But listen, I've just got a couple of texts in, and the first one says, hey, I'm a New Zealand Jedi, we're legit. And I am a Jedi, I've stated this in the census since 1991, why do people question my faith? Is it so they feel better?
Oh, no, to be clear, I'm not questioning
your
faith.
No, I don't think
you
are.
But I'm saying it's a private belief. There are no, as far as I'm aware, there are no communities of Jedi.
Good point.
Well, perhaps your texter could clarify that.
Yeah. Well, I think
I would love to attend a service.
Yeah, so would I. But listen, the problem was that I don't know where we're at on the timeline, but there was definitely, you know, the Sith, kind of the Empire kind of sent them all sprawling into the galaxy. Really, very, very rare these days to find a Jedi who will come out and say, yes, I'm a Jedi in public. And, you know, there's still factions of the Empire that are hunting them down.
True.
So.
It's true. As you say, the Empire has struck back. And
So it's understandable why, Hey, thank you so much. I mean, are there any kind of final summaries you think you can think of for these little factoids?
No, I am waiting to hear the ethnicity.
Oh.
Because I think probably an explanation for why Catholic figures are going up, or well, not going up, but not dropping very fast compared to Anglicans, is that there are heaps of different ethnicities registering as Catholic.
Oh, yes, yeah, that makes sense.
Whereas Anglicans, not so many.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we wait and see, as always.
Yep.
We'll wait and see. Thank you very much. I'm going to play a song for our Jedi friends out there and this is a song that's meant a lot to me over the years. So thank you very much, Peter. Ka kite, we'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye. Now this, we all remember our first record. This record was in my family's collection in a galaxy long time ago, far away in Henderson. Yes, it's the Star Wars theme song, but it's the Star Wars theme song as performed and played by Isao Tomita from the album Cosmos. First album I really, really, really loved in the early 80s. Explains a lot, I think. Have a listen, it's such a good version. Tell me that's not the greatest version you've ever heard. You sell Tomita from the album Cosmos. Oh, so good. Could listen to it again and again. And I did, for a long time. Now, we've got a couple minutes before news, weather and surf. Pete's all primed to tell us all about good news or bad news. We're going to find out about the surf. And now, someone has texted in. I will be passing this on to Peter. Can you ask Peter if he or they distinguish between religious people who think God actually exists and those who go along with the belief in order to follow the religious practices but know / believe that God doesn't actually exist? Maybe next week, please. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, I was going to say that. Maybe there would be a... You could just have a... Do you believe in a day? I mean, it gets complicated. You know, I'm trying to simplify it. That's why people get paid to make sense, and I don't. Hey, happy birthday to Paul Cathro for last week. He's got a new tune out called Distance, and it's bloody good. This is Paul Cathro. Birthday week.
Ahi ahi marie, good afternoon. Ko athena toko ingoa, ko te rima karaka. It's 5 o'clock. The first case of a highly pathogenic bird flu in Aotearoa has been confirmed after chickens in an Otago egg farm were reported to be ill. According to Deputy Director General Stuart Anderson from Biosecurity New Zealand, test results from Sunday confirmed the birds were infected with the highly pathogenic H7N6 strain. Low pathogenic strains of bird flu already existed in the wild. According to Anderson, it is believed that the strain found in chickens had developed from interactions with wild birds. No other poultry farms have reported sick or dead birds, and transmission to mammals is unlikely. An Air New Zealand flight from Gisborne to Auckland has been forced to turn back due to engine problems. This follows a similar occurrence less than 24 hours ago, where an international Air New Zealand flight from Sydney to Auckland also had to turn around due to an engine malfunction. Air New Zealand says the flight NZ5166 was able to land safely after having to shut down one of its engines shortly after departure. The company says the cause of the engine malfunction is currently being investigated, with the engine being shut down in accordance to standard operating procedures. Hunter Biden, the son of current US President Joe Biden, has had his gun and tax convictions pardoned. This comes as Hunter had previously been facing sentencing of a string of felonies, including making a false statement regarding his drug use, as well as failing to pay at least $1.4 million, roughly $2.3 million New Zealand dollars in taxes. Joe says that his son had been singled out due to being the president's child, and that there had been efforts to break Hunter, who had been over 5 years sober, using unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. Australia has proposed a law that could see global tech companies facing fines of almost 55 million New Zealand dollars if they suppress competition and prevent users from easily switching between services. According to Assistant Treasurer Stephen Jones, the law, if passed, would empower Australia's competition regulator to oversee compliance, investigate suppressive practices online, and fine companies for breaches. The proposed law is intended to better enable people to move between competing companies' social media platforms, internet browsers, and app stores. This comes after Australia's Parliament passed a law last week banning social media for children under the age of 16. Ara te kawe purongo, and that's the news.
A 95BFM weather update.
Ane nā tohu huarere mō tēnei rā. Your weather report for today. Fine with some mostly high cloud. Light northerly and sea breezes. The overnight low is 16 degrees and sunset is at 8:25 in the evening. Ane nā tohu huarere mō te āpōpō. Your weather forecast for tomorrow, Ratu, Tuesday. Fine with some mostly high cloud, northerly and sea breezes. And that's your news and weather. Ko Athena Tokuingoa, the time is now 5:04.
That was a 95BFM weather update. Thanks to climate change.
From the dark room to the green room, it's the 95BFM Surf Report, thanks to ProGear Photographic.
Pete, hi. Are you there? Oh, wait, yes, you are. You weren't turned up. My fault. Sorry, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Listen,
all right?
Tell us, last week was pretty bogus. Is it gnarly this week?
It turned on out west yesterday, so good waves there. In terms of this week, jump to the east coast. Yeah, a bit of swell, tiny though, 1 to 1.5 foot, mm-hmm. on the smaller end, and light kind of onshore is developing further into an onshore breeze. So 2 out of 10, kind of scrappy, small kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so not flash, but if you are that way, there's a little something. And then out west tomorrow, a swell's easing 2 to 3 feet in that range, the light offshore in the morning. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not too bad. Like, offshore to variable, but almost no wind. So, definitely, the morning's a go. Might give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay. A little
bit generous, but, you know.
Anything above 5 from you, I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it's above 5, but a generous 6. So, worth it tomorrow morning. And then there's a little onshore breeze developing. So, from probably mid-morning.
It's
definitely worth a go.
All right, at the moment.
Yeah, so
oh, well, you heard the man. And we'll be posting this, obviously. This will be, you can listen again. We'll be reading this out at 6 o'clock if you missed it. And let me ask you this. How was your Sunday?
Good, good.
What's that, sorry?
Sunday was good. We basically played board games. I think Sunday, a big deal.
Nice.
And we played for like 8 hours or something.
I love it. That sounds...
Family card game, just got it going, and we're out east, there weren't any waves, and we're just, rain was on and off, and so we just,
Okay, well, okay.
Zoned out and played, so I feel like if there's any rainy days, there'll be more board games and card games. And
all right, well, maybe on those... Maybe on those weeks where we do have, you know, a Monday afternoon with sort of poor ratings, you can swoop in with like a maybe a video game, a board game rating, to bump it up and like give us an alternative, you know.
Definitely.
Not that we're putting it on you to make our lives better. You're just telling us the news here, but board game's a good idea.
It's good between sessions, like just zoning out and chilling out. It's good to do something like that.
It is.
And then hopefully just score waves. And then you fully just don't forget how to play any games because you're just scoring waves. That's the ultimate thing.
Yeah. I'm kind of the opposite. I play Settlers of Catan like 18 hours a day and then I go surfing for 5 minutes just to clear my mind.
Oh, mate. Then it's coffee time, mate.
All right. I'm going to stop talking trash and we'll speak to you again next week. Thank you so much. I'm going to play a surfing song again.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Perfect. Deal.
Catch you, man.
That was the 95 BFM Surf Report. Thanks to ProGear Photographic.
Cowabunga, friend.
I'm going to keep it on the nose. This is the drum. The song's called Let's Go Surfing, and it's dedicated to everyone who's frothing about that 6 out of 10 Pete just gave us.